Some facts now about New Hampshire. It is the 7th smallest state by size, 10th smallest in population, with a little over 1.2 million people. Almost 38% of the state's registered voters are independents or undeclared. 37% are Republicans, and nearly 26% are Democrats. The population is overwhelmingly white, 96%. But numbers tell only part of the story of New Hampshire. The state is changing all the time, and our colleague Melissa Block has this story about what is new and what is very old in the Granite State.
Think of New Hampshire as a long, thin, almost triangle. Vermont's to the west, Massachusetts along the southern border, Maine off to the east. And on the small strip of Atlantic coastline is Portsmouth, one of the oldest towns in New Hampshire, first settled in 1623. Population, about 20,000. This is one place to find the new New Hampshire. Portsmouth lost its Air Force base in the early 90s. There's a high-tech park and microbrewery there now. In-town old factories have been converted into chic new condos. With the upsurge of high-tech, this seacoast is now billed as the E-Coast.
Can I get for you? Can I get a Stoney and tonic, please?
Ask Bruce Pingree how Portsmouth has changed. He's lived here since 1980.
In the first 2 years I was in town, three friends of mine were murdered. One of them not far from where we are right now, half a block away. So that part of it I don't miss.
We're talking to Pingree at the Press Room, the tavern he manages on Daniel Street.
Walk down towards Maine. It's now a private residence, but there used to be like a porno shop down the street when I first moved into town. What else we got? Like, used to be a 5 and 10, you know, the Newberry's downtown. That's now the Gap. The Starbucks, that used to be Green's Pharmacy.
Like many towns in southern New Hampshire, the Portsmouth area is booming with an influx of new money and people from Massachusetts. When people talk about immigration to New Hampshire, they usually mean people moving in from the Bay State, often fleeing high taxes. And even when they move to New Hampshire, often they'll still work over the border. It's estimated 10% of the New Hampshire workforce commutes every day to jobs in Massachusetts. They crawl along I-93 and 95, those clogged arteries stretching away from the heart of Boston. About 70% of the state's population now lives clustered in the small southeastern quadrant of the state, between the capital, Concord, down through Manchester and Nashua, and east to the coast. More and more, it's a bedroom community of Greater Boston.
And that's really part of a continuum in New Hampshire history, that the state was first settled by people who came here who wanted to escape oppressive Puritanism in eastern Massachusetts. They came here, they want to make a buck.
Steve Taylor is the longtime agriculture commissioner of New Hampshire. He also has a dairy farm and a maple syrup operation.
I can say, I operate a farm in Blainfield, New Hampshire. That's the way I would say it back home. I mean, if I want to be on NPR and sound intelligent, I'm going to say I operate a farm in Plainfield, New Hampshire.
Taylor has a vase of purple and pink anemones from a local grower on his desk. There's a lot more of that kind of niche agriculture now, he says, horticulture and nurseries. Meanwhile, many of those traditional New Hampshire dairy farms have been sold or consolidated into big operations. Taylor was born and raised in this state.
Do you miss the old New Hampshire?
What I really miss is that I knew all my neighbors. Today, and I live in a small village, and people can come in, buy a house, live there for 3 or 4 years and move away, and I've never known them. I have never, hardly ever seen them. And that's because they get up at 6:30 in the morning, they hit the road, they work in technology, they work in medical care, they get home at 5:30 or 6, they're exhausted. They probably picked up a microwavable entree on the way home. They lock the door, they put on the internet or the evening news, and they go to bed afterwards, and they live that life. You know how you can tell somebody that's always lived here? Whether they back their car in their driveway or they head it in. You know why you back your car in the driveway? Because when a snowstorm comes, you can get a running start to get out onto the road. If you head it in, you got to back out. You're probably not going to make it.
So it's the test.
That is a test. I mean, I'll drive by and say, that guy's always lived here. Those people are clueless. They're not going to get that car out of that driveway.
a blast of dynamite loosens a 25-ton block of granite high up on Rattlesnake Hill in Concord.
Well, you're looking at a granite quarry that's been in operation since at least 18, 20, or 30.
We're standing at the dizzying lip of the quarry with Kurt Swenson, who now runs the company his great-grandfather started in 1883, Swenson Granite Works. They say the stone here is 350 million years old. They make curbing here. Inside a shed, two men hammer edges off the slabs, making them smooth and true.
That's the real sound of stone cutting, a small hand tool, small 3-pound handheld hammer. Been done that way for hundreds of years.
Swenson's is the last granite company surviving in the Granite State.
At one point in time, the streets were paved with granite paving blocks. Gonzo. At one point in time, the buildings were solid granite. But now most of the granite used is a granite facade. You know, it sort of weeds it down to the, like everything else, you know, the sort of the survival of the fittest, if you want to look at it that way, I suppose.
When you consider how the economy of the state is changing and these new businesses coming in, high-tech firms and Lord knows what in the south part of state, I wonder how that strikes you, if you feel like a relic?
Well, you know, over the years you see all kinds of businesses. You know, some come and stay and grow and prosper, and some leave. You can't pick your quarry up and leave the state. I don't think we're a relic. We seem to have found a place that works, and we're having a lot of fun. I bet we're having just as much fun as they had back in 1883.
When he thinks about stone and permanence and change, Kurt Swenson will turn to a poem by Donald Hall, former New Hampshire poet laureate. It's called Granite and Grass.
I'll read the last verse. I should say that I can see Ragged Mountain from my house. Ragged Mountain was granite before Adam divided. Grass lives because it dies. If weary of discord, we gaze heavenward through the same eye that looks at us. Vision makes light of contradiction. Granite is grass in the holy meadow of the soul's repose.
Melissa Block, NPR News, Manchester, New Hampshire.